It was nearly midnight as officers from Peckham CID moved into the rancid concrete stairwell of Crane House SE15. It stank of piss and weed, and used crack vials crunched underfoot. The walls surrounding them carried the names of the heroes of the local gang, the Peckham Young Guns, recorded in thick, rounded white graffiti. Dwayne G, Bailey, Jukes, Choke. Four armed response officers, carrying Glock 9mm pistols and dressed in their black Nomex boots, gloves, and Kevlar helmets over balaclavas, moved purposefully to the bottom of the stairs, awaiting instruction. Their goggles and ballistic body armour gave them an eerie, futuristic appearance. Detective Inspector Ruth Hunter was taking no chances as she motioned silently for CID officers and the AROs to head up the stairs to the fifth floor. She heard the thudding of her pulse in her ears and felt the grip of anxiety in her stomach. She adjusted her tight, heavy ballistic vest. Even though it was there to save her life, Ruth cursed how uncomfortable and restrictive it felt. It's worse than Jane's bloody bridesmaid's dress, she thought. 30 minutes earlier, Peckham Nick had received a call to say that someone had heard a gunshot in flat 127 of Peckham's Pelican Estate in southeast London, a notorious hive of drug gangs, violence, and murder. Ruth knew the flat was home to Kozzy Asumana, aka Taz, a drug dealer and member of the infamous Peckham Boys, who had been linked to murders and crime for decades. Asumana had been on CID's radar for a while now, even though he was only a minor dealer of crack cocaine on the estates. However, Ruth was more concerned about the fact that Asumana lived in a flat with his wife Zariah and their two young children. She prayed that none of them had become collateral damage in a deadly trade. Already that year, London had seen the deaths of four innocent members of the public caught up in the crossfire of gang warfare. And it was only March. It's turning into South Central. The officers moved quietly along the concrete walkway and arrived outside the innocuous red door to flat 127. Ruth motioned, and one of the ARO stepped forwards with what they like to call the big red key, a steel battering ram that would break down the door in one hit. Ruth knew that a dry sense of humour was the only way to survive in the job. Ruth clicked her radio. 3-7 to Gold Command. Officers in position at target location. The radio crackled back. 3-7 received. Gold Commander order is go. Ruth paused, her mind racing through the various dark scenarios they might find behind that door. Right, let's go. She nodded at the AROs and moved back against the wall. Bang! Ruth flinched as the door swung open in an almighty thud and the officers moved in, weapons trained in front of them. Armed police! They bellowed as they stormed into the flat. Armed police! Everyone, get down! Ruth followed, heart pounding in her chest. The flat was tidy, and she noticed African wall hangings and the smell of spicy cooking. Ruth spotted children's shoes neatly lined up in the hallway and two pink coats hanging from hooks. It didn't look like the usual squalor she had come to expect of a drug dealer's home. The officers spread out throughout the flat, searching the rooms. In the hallway, Ruth carefully stepped over a discarded child's game, pieces thrown haphazardly across the floor. She had a sinking feeling in the pit of her stomach. Please, let the kids be okay. Armed police, drop the weapon, an officer cried from the next room. It was followed by a woman's scream,